Some like ZZ Top. Oh, come on. Home, 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 home. All right, we're having fun. Hey, guys, we are back. Welcome to Unleashed. And you can tell this is going to be fun today. I'll introduce our guest here in a minute, and I just minimized everything that I was going to ask him today. So let me pull that back up. This is like, there we go. Hey, anyhow, we are back, and I'd like to say we're live. I mean, we're live here. And
I'm alive.
And I am alive. Eric, you alive?
I'm alive.
We're alive. And it's, hey, you heard the guitar in the beginning. I just have one question. Does it go to 11?
Yes, it does. I've got a special guitar here that does go to 11, but please don't look at it.
Don't even touch it.
No.
Well, man, Eric, good to see you.
Good to see you.
I saw you, I think, last week. I did the podcast from home. I had been going on hunting camp, you know, for a bow camp for a week. And lucky enough to take a couple of deer, get them in the freezer.
Very nice.
But it was...
Did you kill them first?
No, I just... They're cold. They're in there. I had to get them a sweater. They're really cold right now. But, Eric, we were together, was it a week before last for the fundraiser?
Let's see.
It was... That was a Wednesday, right?
No, it was a Thursday. Thursday. Was it the 5th? I don't know.
Yes, 7th.
7th.
Yeah, something like that. It was in this month.
Yeah.
But it was fun. That night we had Josh Kaufman. Many of you can remember Josh. You know, we had him on, I don't remember what episode it was that we had Josh. It was one of the early ones. He was the winner of The Voice for the you guys that might remember that. Wasn't he incredible?
He was. He was great. You guys both were great. I mean.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there singing, and Stacy was sitting beside me. She's just looking at him with her jaw on the floor going, oh, my gosh. I go, that's why he won The Voice.
That's exactly why.
Oh, the dude's amazing. Hey, how did the, I don't know if you have any final totals or anything you're allowed to share, but was it a good night for the fundraiser?
I believe so. I don't have the full total either, but I'm pretty sure it was a good night.
Okay, good, good. It was fun. I mean, there was a lot of people. I know the president from AU. There was just a lot of people. Yeah. The owner of the GNC was a friend of mine, and the owner of Roadhouse. I mean, all these people coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, why didn't they give me a sponsorship to Roadhouse, right? I mean, one of them guys, you know, he owns Roadhouse. I'm like, we eat there, you know, all the time.
Yeah, bunch of steaks.
So you still riding your bike at all? Or
I am. I've just been riding the indoor bike, but yeah.
Yeah. I've got an indoor bike. I don't know what it is. I just can't. I don't know. Maybe it's the seat. I don't like the seat.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the padding.
It's tough to get comfortable on indoor bikes, man. I don't know why, but it just is. And it's not as free, man, so it's kind of boring.
You know, I used to have one of those elliptical machines where you had the screen. And, you know, as you're doing this, you can, like, you're supposed to be in Hawaii. Uh-uh. It doesn't work. I mean, it looks like it, but yeah. It's like, no, just like, pick my phone up and just do that.
Yeah, it just trained you to hate Hawaii. You're like, this sucks. Things are burning. I'm never going to Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's kind of move into this thing here. And there we go. Today's guest has been a friend of mine since probably as long as asphalt's been on the road. Mark Pay. Mark, he always liked that last name because then everybody was like, you don't forget to pay Mark.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you're with me, you're with Pay.
Well, man, so Mark and I have been friends, I think, 1981. I guess asphalt's been out longer than that. But
it's been a while.
It's been a while. That's how long we've had potholes here in Indiana that haven't been fixed. But, well, man, we met each other years ago. And how many years ago would that even be from now? Was that 43?
It might be that long.
Holy cow. Well, we met at Anderson College before it became Anderson University. And who was it was Bob Reardon.
Bob Reardon was the
Bob Reardon.
He was the commish.
He was. He was the president.
The commish.
He was neat. I loved him.
Yeah, he was great.
My freshman year, a bunch of the guys, he invited us over from the fourth floor. And we go over to his house, and he's telling all these stories. And I'm like, this is the president of this college? He was pretty cool.
I lived in his house.
You did?
He never knew it. No, I bought it. But he never knew it.
Well, there was some... Oh, yeah, on Buckeye.
Yeah.
I forgot that was his house.
That was his house.
We played a lot of ping pong there.
A lot of ping pong went down.
It was. We'll get into that. But anyhow, Mark Pay is with us today, and I have wanted to be able to get, you know, him on here for a while, and I just kind of get busy with things, and I'm going, oh, my gosh. We saw each other, it was like maybe a month ago, 3 weeks ago or something. You were playing... I think it was at Wolfie's.
In Pendleton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we came down there, special trip, just to see you and get the salmon. If you haven't had the salmon at Wolfie's, it's amazing. And we had, I said, can we get closer? And she puts us in the table, dead center, right in front of you guys.
Got a good seat.
And I'm sitting there going, he's going to say, hey, get up here and sing something. And I'm like, I ain't doing it. And Stacy's like, come on, you got to get up. I'm like, I am not doing it. You tried.
I tried.
You did. You even went out on break to try to learn a song.
Next time we'll do it.
Yeah, well, just, yeah, next time I'll bring Josh with me. He'll get up there and just sing. But anyhow, Mark's been a friend for a long, long time. And we started off together. Was it, we had a band together. Was that in 81 or was it in the spring of 82 when we formed Exodus?
Well, let me think. I think it was in the fall of 81 to 2. Yeah, so somewhere in that fall, I remember I was talking to Jarmo about it.
And Jarmo is a guy from Finland, in case you're wondering what that name Jarmo is.
He said, hey, there's a really good guy, keyboard singer over there in the practice room. Let's go see if he wants to join in the band. And that's kind of how it all started.
And what was I probably playing?
Probably Styx, something from the Paradise Theater album, I'm guessing.
So I wrote notes down. We have not talked about this, and I went, I guarantee you that's exactly what I have. I said it was either Come Sail Away or Rock in the Paradise.
Yeah, one of those.
It could have been Billy Joel.
Could have been.
I like Billy Joel's.
Maybe Elton? I don't know.
It probably wasn't Elton.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been, yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how many years have passed. But that's how we first met. We were kind of in these practice rooms at the college.
You were very thin then.
Oh my gosh. I graduated high school at 118.
And now look at you.
I'm 119. Put on a whole pound. I'm going to be looking to see what we've got to get. But anyhow, speaking about talent, we had Josh. Mark, you know, one of the things that when we first met, you know, I think you were playing probably, was it like Cat Scratch Fever? Do you remember that? I guess you do. Funny story. As he's telling, I'm on a plane that I'm flying to Traverse City, Michigan, and I had camouflage on because I'm speaking for this outdoor event. And this lady beside me is really uncomfortable because here's this dude in all this camo. And she, like, when we finally get flying, we put our tables down. And when we get the tables put down, she, oh, I've got a friend. No, you're good. Can you play You Got a Friend in Me? You got a friend in me. Anyhow, let's go back. Let's go back to this. So I'm sitting on the plane, and this lady, she's like, doesn't even want to look up. She's real, like, eloquently dressed. And the stewardess come back, whatever the correct term is. She comes back, and she hands me some peanuts, and I go to hand her some. And they fall, but on my little tray table that's now down, I've got this hunting – I think it was Peterson's Bow Hunting Magazine or something. There's like this dead animal on this page. And she sees it, and she kind of grabs the peanuts and kind of looks at me and then looks away. About 2 minutes later, she turns at me. And this is back – I used to have that – remember when I used to have that soul patch that just came straight down? She looks at me, and she goes, what do you do for a living? And I was like, what? And I said, well, I said, I was in music for like 25 years touring. And I said, and now I do a lot in the outdoor industry. And she goes, oh my gosh, you're Ted Nugent. She moves over closer to the window, probably afraid she's going to get some cat scratch fever or
That's
something.
That's funny.
But yeah. Anyhow.
The wild man from Detroit.
Oh my gosh, he's a trip.
Motor City Madman, they called him back then.
That's you kind of reminded. Well, you always look like Chuck Norris.
Maybe.
You did. You looked a lot like Chuck back then.
Well, thank you.
You did.
I think that's good.
Yeah. Well, he's still alive, so that's good.
That's good. He's still kicking.
Yeah. Well, he literally.
And punching.
You guys, you don't know what you're in for today, because if Mark and I get started like we used to with like plays on words, like if we were to go fishing, things would just get out of hand. It would be kind of like things would get really finny fast.
I like that. It makes me laugh so hard it hurts my muscles.
That's fishy. Okay.
I'm feeling clammy after that. Anyway.
All right. This is what it was like on tour all the time. Everybody was always like, oh my gosh, you get around Mark and you're just like laughing all day long.
Ralph Ertz might have been the best.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay. I'm going to like throw some of this stuff in the can that I've got on here, because I knew once we got here, there'd be some greats. And the other one is the coming back from the studio after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a great one.
Yeah.
Let's kind of start getting into some of this stuff.
All right.
So we were touring back then, and we were had a band called Exodus. We were the first, right, Christian rock band that that college ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was new.
It was very new.
We were pioneers at the time.
They didn't know what to do with us.
No.
And so the whole thing, because I've told you guys before, someone I had a chance to tour, Stephen Curtis back then, that only happened because the college, we were too much. The rock band, I think we were just too much for what they wanted to put out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how that whole thing happened. It was like, well, there's my summer job. I can do that.
It was us, Fruit of the Spirit, and one other band, I think. There was like three back then. Fruit of the Spirit, Exodus, Stephen Curtis came along.
I can't even remember, dude.
Seems like there was another act.
Too many brain cells.
What was the act that Jay Rouse was in?
I don't remember.
With Robin.
Yeah, I do
what
remember.
What was that?
I can't remember.
Well, there were several acts. I mean,
dude, I was in the hospital last week with something called global transient amnesia. So I'm losing brain cells, and obviously I lost a lot last week. So
oh,
I don't know.
Image.
Image.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. With Jay and Amy and
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, that's right.
I just saw Mark, by the way.
Mark
Clark.
Clark.
Yeah.
I sang with him about 3 months ago on a session for Sight and Sound.
I saw him at Back Nine.
I know you golfed.
I played there. I mean, music.
Yeah, I do remember.
I played music.
So when Mark started playing golf, because I love to golf, we go out and it's like a par four on the first, first nine, the first hole, and he shoots a five. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he got a bogey on the very first hole. He's just started golfing. No. The next one was a par three, and I think you got a 13.
I think it was 18, but I'm not bragging or anything.
that's the thing about you. If you decide you want to do something,
yeah.
It was like back then, I mean, you were a good guitar player, but the one thing that I always respected about you was that you would just never stop practicing. You would sit and learn a lick over and over and over and over until that's why you can play so many great songs now.
Could be.
We'll have to do let's just do this right now. We'll just kind of throw this. All right. So I want to see, when we were on the road, I used to always do this, name that tune, but it was always like television shows. And I would say, anybody remember, like, I Love Lucy, and they go, I can't. And I go, dun, 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 dun. But Mark can pretty much do this on guitar. So I asked him, I said, would you bring your guitar with you today? And I didn't tell him what songs. And he's sitting here warming up before I even get started with the podcast. He's playing everything I had on the list. All right, give me Life in the Fast Lane. That's like one of my favorite rock tunes of all time. If I'm like at home, I'll just crank. How about, let's go softer. Let's.
Wait. Ted Nugent, Stranglehold.
Let's see. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of I haven't heard that in years. I had to
I
hear
don't know
the
what
tune.
Key it's in.
Well, you picked one out. How about Walk This Way?
I can't remember.
We're just throwing stuff at it. Okay, let's see. Oh, here you go. Free Ride, Edgar Winter. Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Little got to do a little Clapton here. Layla.
Oh.
Do you remember Layla? Layla.
I'd have to review Layla. I haven't played that in a while.
I was going to say, that's pulling one out of there. Sweet Home Alabama, the number one requested bar song probably.
Well, since you mentioned that, I'm going to try something with that song that maybe's never been done.
Okay.
I'm going to try to play Sweet Home Alabama and Stairway to Heaven at the same time.
This will be interesting.
Give me just a second to get ready. Let me try it one more time. Listen. It's hard. It's difficult to play them both at the same time. But
what was it? Was it Oh, Chet Atkins, it used to play two songs at the same time. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, I just did it.
You just did it. So, so we're calling you Chet.
Just, never mind.
All right. How about Hotel California?
I think I know that one.
Is it highway? Never mind. How about Long Train Running? There we go. Come on. How about it's How Fast Can You Switch Your Brain? Barracuda. All right, how about Josie? Those are complicated.
That's a high dollar chord right there.
Eric, you got another one? You got anything else? Now he was some more like the big hair bands, like Whitesnake and some of those bands.
Yeah, we had one of the other podcasts to do. We had the guitar player for Great White, Mark. I can think of his last name now.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's anything from 38 Special. I don't know why that just popped in my mind.
What do you got, Mark?
Hold on loosely. Hold on loosely.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let go. Hold too tightly. Gonna lose control. I don't know.
Anyhow. Anyhow, you guys are getting some fun stuff. I mean, this was like so many years put together of so much practice and being on the road. Were you... So... Years after we did Exodus and that other stuff, we kind of were doing, I think you were touring with Priscilla Engel.
That's true, yes.
And I was with a group called One, but you were with us with One, too. Were you there when Don went in the wrong bathroom? Wasn't that you?
Yes.
I've told that story on here.
He went in the wrong bathroom at the McDonald's there.
And you and I come walking out, and here comes that blonde-haired lady laughing, red face, and he's right behind her. I have a witness now, so now you know that story was true.
I was there.
Okay. Funniest story I think I've ever heard. So Mark did a lot of producing too. He did a lot of label projects and custom projects and different things for people. And he was up at Gaither Studios. And a lot of things when you're doing these projects and you're recording, you know, it's one thing if you're the vocalist or you're one of the instrumentalists, you know, you get called in, you're maybe starting at 9, you're going to 5 or 6 or whatever. But as the producer, you're up till 2 the night before writing chord charts.
Pretty much.
And you're getting home at 2 in the morning after, you know, getting everything mixed and edited and stuff.
It's a long day.
So he gives me a call. And he had, what time did you get out of the studio that night?
3 o'clock probably.
And so it's what, from where living, it was like maybe 20 minutes back home?
Yeah.
And so rather than were you taking the main road or were you taking that back road?
Back roads.
So I don't want to ruin the story, but this, let me just kind of set it up. So he's telling me this on the phone and I'm dying. And he's on his way back. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Was it wintertime? Was it cold out?
I think it was like the fall.
But it was like you were trying to stay awake.
I was.
Take it.
Well, I was a staff producer at the time at the Gaither Studios and, I got the call to produce the winner of the GMA Gospel Singing Contest in Estes Park. And her name was Heidi Hooker. I remember her name because it was memorable.
Christian music.
Yeah, it's Christian music. And Heidi, we were working late one evening until about 3 in the morning. I think it was on the mix. And I was exhausted. So I'm driving home the back roads. I roll down the windows. I got the radio cranked. And I'm just trying to stay awake. About a 20-minute drive through the country. Well, I'm just driving along, minding my business, and something hits me in the head, and it felt kind of like a shoe, a little bit hard, a little bit soft.
3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Somebody threw a shoe.
I thought, who's throwing shoes out here? And so I pulled over, and I thought, who's throwing shoes? I was really going to get them, you know? Well, then I heard something kind of like in the back of my van. It's like, what happened? What hit me in the head? Well, I got out. And I opened the back door. Well, there's an owl down, and he's down. So he's hurt. He hit me in the
owl,
head. Yeah.
So he had to like hit you in the head and fly behind you inside.
Well, he was flying fast and he nicked my head pretty good and then landed in the back of the van. And so I thought, what am I going to do?
What a hoot.
Yeah, it was a hoot. And so I thought, I got to chase him out. So he wouldn't get out. He just ran up to the front. Then I got up to the front of the van and then he ran to the back of the van. And then this was going on. And I was like, I'm tired. I just finished with Heidi Hooker. I got to get home. I'm tired. So, I thought I'll just drive along with an owl in the car. Who cares, you know, in the van. So I went along for a little while. I'm just driving. I'm being real careful now because it's a little foggy out. It's late at night. I thought something else could happen, you know. You got to be careful. Things come in twos and threes, right? So anyway, next thing I know, I felt something kind of down in my between my legs. And the owl jumped up on the seat, and I didn't realize he was just sitting in my crotch area, but on the seat, just kind of taking a ride. I look down. I see two big bulging eyes just looking up at me. Well, I smacked him, and I shouldn't have. I hope I don't get in trouble with any kind of regulation for that, but I smacked him. Well, then he went on attack mode, and so now I'm fighting an owl in the front seat of my van while I'm driving. This went on for,
Didn't you have like an ice scraper or something?
I did. I grabbed an ice scraper and I started to attack back.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
So we got a battle royale in the front of a van, guitar player and an owl, you know. And so this went on for a while. He jumped up on the seat. I thought he was going for a kill shot on the neck. You know, I thought he was coming in. Well, I guarded my neck and he looked at me and he looked at the window and he flew out. Flew out of the van, and I thought, nobody's going to believe me, but there were a lot of evidence. There was evidence from the battle. Feathers.
Right, white stuff.
There was some white stuff. I mean, a little bit of blood.
He was on coke, yeah.
We both were kind of razzle-dazzled. I mean, we both got hit in the head.
Gosh.
So after that, I drive with my window shut. And I recommend that.
And owls are huge. I was talking on, I think it was a podcast last week I had been hunting, and I'm sitting in my tree stand. I'm like 20 feet off the ground. And I'm looking up, it's first thing in the morning. I mean, it had been like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Owls, their wingspan is as long as my arms. I mean, as wide as my arms, are huge. And this thing, just without making a sound, lands on this branch. And he's sitting there for like 5 minutes. And I'm, of course, camouflage and my face mask. And all of a sudden, he knows there's something in that seat that shouldn't be there. And he just locks in. And their face is like this big around.
Well, that must have been a barn owl.
Yeah, it was. It was a big one. Yeah. So he just kind of like just barely jumps off and just glides past me, lands about maybe 5 yards behind me. He's just looking at me. They're big.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe it. You thought it was a shoe.
Well, it was hard and soft at the same time. So, I mean,
So if it was a bird, it must have been a wingtip.
Yeah. Just
shoe,
beak.
Shoe, wingtip. It's a.
Did you say that just beak, Oz?
Okay, let me claw my way back in.
All right, let's fly back to reality.
Yeah.
May God have mercy on both of you for this.
This is what it's like all the time when we were together. We haven't really spent any time. It's been because I moved away in 2002, and then, you know, our lives, both of us, drastically changed. I came back in 2007, and there was a lot of changes in both of our lives that happened during those years, and we just haven't seen each other much. So, sorry, we got to make up for some lost time here. What was the other story we were talking about a minute ago?
Well, there's several. I can think of the one time we were fishing up in Wisconsin and we scared Jeff Bates half to death when we were
hiding
behind
the ski mask?
Ski masks behind the wood while he was cleaning fish. That was always one of my favorite stories to see his reaction. But there's a lot of funny stories out there. I mean,
I remember on that fishing trip. Now, Mark, at the time, you have to remember we had been away from our wives for a while. And, you know, there was only two beds, so there's two guys to a bed.
Oh, yeah.
And I wake up middle of the night, and he's spooning me.
I was lonely. I was lonely.
And I'm like, what do I do? Do I elbow him? Or do I just, like, take his hand and his leg and just kind of move it, you know? And oh, my gosh. And then you caught that. Now, you caught a smallmouth. Let me see if I can remember it. Was it 5.3 pounds?
I think it was maybe a little more.
Maybe a little more than that. But at the time, yeah. I think when and it was 20, I forget how many, 25 inches, 20, something like that. It was big.
It was a good size one.
Yeah. He's got, I remember you had like on a silver spoon with a pork rind trailer.
Good memory.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can remember. Everything current, I don't even know where I did yesterday.
Wow.
But there's like a bed, and this thing's kind of like cruising on top of the bed. Yep. And you're bringing this thing around, and the second you came across it, man,
kabow.
I got that net under it. So we drug it around the lake all day, yeah. Not realizing how big this thing was. So we get back to the bait shop, and he takes it in. The guy's like, do you know how close you were to the state record? He goes, this thing like loses weight during the day when you drag him around.
Yeah, I could have won some money or something, maybe a couple lures.
What was the name of that little place we used to eat by that? What the heck?
What the heck?
What the heck?
Yeah,
that was in Spooner, yeah. Wisconsin.
The freshwater fishing capital of the United States is in Spooner, by the way. If you get a chance, jump in the muskie there. There's a big muskie you can go in. And there's log rolling.
I used to freak out.
No, that's Hayward.
That's Hayward.
That's Hayward.
Yeah, right. Best flapjacks. And
yeah.
I'd freak out. We'd be on the boat, and I'd see like a 5-foot muskie cruising underneath us.
Yeah.
And I'd just be freaking out.
Those were the days.
And the sturgeon?
Yeah, I had a... Oh, sturgeon. I thought you said the surgeon.
No.
Because we fished with a doctor, didn't we?
Well, we had a general with us. He was the sturgeon general. I don't know. Did we have a doctor with us?
No,
we didn't have a doctor. We had, who was with us? Todd, Jerry. Oh,
Jerry Engel.
Jerry Engel, Priscilla. Yeah, he was
Todd
Ray Bolt's booking agent. Todd was with us.
Todd Breschler.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, you had that ski mask on. I remember you like picking your head up in that window. Oh, my gosh, that was so fun.
That was a great trip.
Had to be there.
And then there's the Sandy Patty years. We have lots of fun stories of that. We were both on that tour.
Yeah, I was singing on that. You were playing guitar on that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think if there's anything that we could actually tell. There was some really funny. Mark had this way. He would always like say something and stick his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know where I'm going with that. But I can't.
Let's not tell it.
Can't tell that one.
No.
Is there one that I can tell?
How about the Finnish trip? When I... Remember, were you on that when I left my ticket over there?
Yes. Kept leaving you behind because you, was it your passport you lost?
Well, remember, it was so cold that our diesel vans froze up and we had to get other transportation. So you and I and Yarmo, I think, were busy loading the girls' luggage in the new vehicles.
Right.
Well, I left my carry-on bag with my passport and tickets behind. We get to the airport, it's like, oh no, where's my ticket, my passport? All I have is a driver's license. Well, back then, they let me on the plane because I was with a group. But then once we got to, was it Amsterdam?
Probably.
They were going to send me back to Helsinki. And I said, no, you can't do that. And, well, by law, we have to. You don't have a ticket or a passport. What are you even doing here, you know? So you guys got on the plane. Everybody, I remember, gave me like $20.
Right.
Good luck.
Good luck.
See you later. So I was able to get a hold of the U.S. Embassy. I told them that I had left my ticket, and could they vouch for me if they flew me to New York? And they said, all right, as soon as you get off the plane, though, you got to go to customs. And so when I did, there was a guy with a sign, Mark, pay this way, you know, and they fined me. And but I got it all the way across the ocean with no ticket or passport. Try that today.
Yeah. That, I mean, I got on a plane coming back from Alaska one time, and I had a big buck knife I had gotten from my dad.
Yeah.
And it's in my carry-on. And the guy... When I go to go through... this is before 911. Okay. Remember that.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I really can't let you on the plane with that. And I'm like, why? It's just... really, right? I mean, now it's like you get fingernail clippers. You can't have those. But he just said, well, I'll take it on the plane, and I'll carry it for you. And then when I get off, he just hands it to me as I'm getting off...
Not today.
Not today.
No.
What was the other thing I was going to say? There was another funny. Oh my gosh, we had so many.
The tooth incident.
That was Kansas City.
It's funny now. It's funny now.
It is funny now. Oh, I know a couple. Yeah, so I think I've told this story before. We were in Kemper Arena, which is the big one in Kansas City. Mark grew up in Kansas City. And sorry about the Chiefs last night.
Can you believe that?
I know. He almost came back and still won that game.
At least the Colts won.
Yeah. And the Steelers did.
The Pacers.
Pennsylvania guy. But yeah, so we're out there singing. And I had a tooth that I had, I forget even how I got the thing knocked out, but I had to have it cemented back in. And it was a partial. And so when I was with the group one, we would open up for Sandy Patty. And so we would be the first ones to come out and get the crowd going. And I started, it was a song called Spirit to Spirit.
That's right.
And I came out, and I would go, I have felt the joy of the love. And when I hit the word felt.
It blew it.
It blew it. And the tooth goes flying in the air.
To the first row or second row?
Well, no, I caught it.
Oh, you caught it.
But all in the first, second row, there's all these record execs from, like, you know, there's Hallmark and all these different things there. Word. and my tooth flies out and I catch it and I turn to Brian and I go, finish the song.
Yeah, I remember that. You ran off and we had to just go through it.
Yeah. And so I go back and I call my dentist and he goes, get a little bit, don't tell anybody I told you this. He says, get some super glue, dry it really good with a paper towel, get a blow dryer. Back then I had hair, so I had a blow dryer.
Yeah.
And, he says, just barely put it on the toothpick, get it up in there. And I kept trying to cement it, but it wouldn't stick. So I keep putting more and more super glue. By the time I get done, it's hanging down way farther than the other ones. You buddy. Had to come out. I hadn't finished that.
We tried so hard not to laugh. And I remember Sandy thought we should pray. And she started the prayer off with, dear Lord, please be with Brent's tooth and Brent too. And we couldn't stop, but I mean, we couldn't.
Oh, it became, it's one of those tour stories. You got them. Like, you know, one of the things that used to drive me nuts, you know, Mark is probably the funniest guy I've ever known, but he would do this thing called hanging people.
Oh, no.
And we would go to like, you know, like Walmart. It's not too hard to hang people a lot of times when you go there, but he would get in line and he would like take his finger and he'd be like, if the person in front of him would have like slightly turned, it looked like he was pointing at them and he'd go, look at that, right there. That look at that spot. And they're looking at their jacket, everything they could. And he goes, yeah, I don't know what happened to my finger. And they would totally just be hanging them.
You're just messing with people. And I learned that craft from a guy named Ron David Moore, who was a singer out of Nashville, who was opening up for us when I was on the Ray Bolts run. And Ron was crazy. And he would go like, hey, you got something on the front part of the back of your leg. Turn around the other side. No, the other way. Turn around. So he'd just have people spin in the front side of the back of your leg. Well, what is that? You know, where is that? So it was not very nice, to be honest. So I quit doing that, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't do that any longer.
But it was like, you didn't know whether to stand there and laugh or go, I don't know him.
Yeah. Well, Ron David Moore was the king of it.
Well, you used to do this double talk.
Well, I had that down.
We'd go to McDonald's and he would order. What would it sound like? You remember, can you still do that?
Well, could I get one of those orders on the side of the fine on the side of the plate, please?
And they'd be like,
what?
What?
On the side of the plate.
And then they go,
what's on the side of the plate? Well, you know, the order. What order? You know, just.
And they go, okay.
All
and
right.
They pull forward and you're like, he didn't say anything.
Someone call security. There's a problem here. Yeah.
Oh, then we're fishing. So we were fishing. We told you about some of the other stuff, but this one wasn't as funny. We had gone to Pennsylvania. Back, we were visiting my parents, and we were back there, and we went to this lake right on the Pennsylvania-Ohio border. Oh, yeah, my mom's Wimpy's.
The Wimpy's.
Yeah, they were good. These sandwiches Mom used to always make. But we're fishing, and now when we found this one lure we both loved, it was called the Rebel Crawdad, and it had two treble hooks in it. We're like, man, this is like the best thing for bass and smallmouth. So we're fishing, and you know, he's faced one way out the boat. I'm faced the other way. And I hear him reeling the fish in, and I'm not paying attention. He's going to take it off the hook, throw it back or whatever, and keep it. And I hear this,
Oh, yeah.
I turn around, and that thing had shook, and that treble hook, one of those had buried. Was it your middle finger?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, buried up in that way past the barb.
In the joint.
And neither one of us had ever dealt with this before.
Yeah.
And he goes, you got to get it out. So he's trying. He's got this fish smashed with his foot. He's holding it down.
We were both hooked at the same time at that point.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So he's got his foot, and he's smashing this fish down. He's like, I need a little help here. And he's got his hand down, and this thing's flopping, and his hand is just being just jacked around. He goes, get the needle nose. Get the needle nose. He goes, I can't get it out. He goes, just cut it. So I cut off this thing, but the treble hook is still in his hand.
Embedded.
I hope we eat that fish. He deserved it. But
yeah.
So he goes, I said, what do we do? He takes his jean jacket and he puts it in his mouth and he bites on it. He goes, just pull it out. And I'm going against the barb.
Yeah, it was not feeling right.
You know, you can put a fishing line around the barb and get it down in there or push it the rest of the way
through. Push it through, yeah.
But don't pull it.
Well, it was not good. Whatever was happening was not working.
So we had to go to the ER on that trip. And then we got back to my parents' house, which probably had Wimpy's.
Yep.
And there was like this old treehouse behind there. And I went up and I climbed up in this thing and I jumped down and I put, was it my hand or my foot? I think it was my foot. This nail went up through it and I had to go to the ER.
Oh, yeah. Remember that. Yeah.
Life. Always an adventure. I always used to say adventure begins when your plans go bad. Lots of adventure.
Well, we've both had that happen.
You know, so anyhow, we can goof off a lot. You played ping pong. When we both started playing ping pong with each other. So, sorry, guys. I'm just kind of going like memories that he would know. You
bouncing around.
We're going to talk for a
minute. Follow the ping pong ball here.
And we would, yeah, I was going to go another direction. Can't go there. It was a Lawrence Welk thing, but can't go there. Yep, you remember that one.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're going to, maybe if you private message me, I'll let you know what it was.
But did you know I worked with the stars of the Lawrence Welk show with Mike Patty?
Yes.
When he was still living.
And Jay.
Well, yep. And Jay Rouse. Yeah, we did a couple tours with the Lawrence Welk people. That was interesting.
Yeah, and that's why I can't go there. There was something really, really funny.
Yeah.
Sorry. Save that for another time, another life.
That's on the late night show. We'll do that.
Yeah, right. The very late night show.
Okay.
But what was I just going to say? What was I talking about?
Ping pong.
Ping pong. Yeah, when Mark got into ping pong, you know, we were both pretty equally matched when we met each other and started playing. But the thing about Mark, like with his guitar playing, once he like gets a hold of something, he'll just keep doing it, you know, until he's like as good as you can be. And did you actually, I mean, you were in a league and everything. You were like, did someone have a ping pong ball machine that you could like?
Yeah, we had a robot.
Yeah, so it got to be we're like 1-1. We play, we each win a match, and it was like 3-1. It was like 6-1, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, well, I was actually nationally ranked for a short time.
Dang. And
I played tournaments all around the region with my dear friend Daryl Austin, who was a math professor at AU at the time. And
oh, yeah, I remember him.
We kind of just got into it. We just started playing in tournaments.
He was kind of short, kind of tall, fat, kind of skinny, long hair, no beard, right?
Yeah.
I think that was one of your lines.
Yeah. I think that was.
But anyhow, we didn't see each other for years. So during those, you were with Sandy.
Yep.
And Priscilla, you were with Ray Bolts.
Yep.
And now what did you do with Ray? I know you guys wrote a song together too, didn't you? Wasn't it
we wrote What If I Give All Together.
Oh, yeah.
We wrote that song in the car. I don't know if you want to hear the story behind it, but it was a pretty touching story how that happened. We were heavily into missions with Mission of Mercy at the time with Wayne Francis. He was our tour pastor, and we'd always raise money. Well, a little kid, a three-year-old, decided to put his three birthday dollars in the offering plate to feed kids in Cambodia and India and Laos and Vietnam. And well, the mother came up and told me he had got three birthday dollars, and he said, Mom, feed them all. That's what he said when he put it in the plate. So they came up and told me that at the merch table. So I said, you got to tell the story to Ray. This is crazily good story. So Ray heard it. He goes, that's amazing. Mark, we're going to write a song about this. So that night, instead of being on the tour bus, we jumped in the rental car and I sat in the passenger seat. He was driving. And we wrote the song. We performed it the next night live. Well, that show happened to go live nationally. And that song was played, and everybody started just like, how do I get this song? How do I get this song?
It was a big song.
So it shot up to number one. It was nominated. I don't remember if it was Song of the Year or a categorical song for a Dove. And but it was number one for 6 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, that's a long time to keep a song up on the charts that high.
Yeah, with Ray. And then I worked with the Gaithers for 4 years, too, playing guitar and bass.
Yeah, that's right.
With the Gaithers.
And now you've been playing, like, just doing events everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean, I asked you before we started, I said, how many events did you like you're doing a year? And what did you say?
I'm guessing 150.
Yeah. And he's not 35 anymore. Neither am I.
Yeah. I'm guessing 150, but it could be more because
are you doing anything in Alaska?
I'd like to.
And we need to go back. Yeah. So I want to go a direction with this because we have a friend and actually, Mark was roommates with a guy that I ended up being like in a summer roommate with, and then I used to work up there with him and do some. We both been up there and adventure with him. His name is Ralph. Ralph Ertz.
Ralph Ertz.
And Ralph, incredibly smart guy. He's an attorney. He just retired. You know, he just moved back to Montana. I think he might. I don't know if he's still keeping his law office or not up there.
I don't know. I think he's kind of starting to retire.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much kind of trying to get done with all that stuff. But Ralph was. How do you say it? He's unique.
Very unique.
You're very unique. And I can remember in I think it was like in wintertime.
In a good way.
In a good way, yeah. I mean, he's just, you know, sometimes when people are like that off the chart smart.
Yeah, he's very smart.
They can just do some real like Elon Musk type stuff, you know.
And,
so we're like,
and he could wrestle.
And he was a really good wrestler.
That's how we met.
That's right, because you wrestled too.
Yeah.
So he, I can remember when he was at college, he put on flippers and a snorkel and a mask, and it was wintertime in his shorts.
Well, I think it was raining and snowing, but he wore that to just get to class just for whatever reason. I don't know.
But he was always doing something really crazy. Now, one of the things that he loved to do is Ralph liked practical jokes.
Yep.
And so Mark had been playing guitar. Let me see if I get this right, and you fill in the blanks here. Mark would always stay up practicing, playing guitar, yeah. And they were roommates. And Ralph would be like, man, I could never get to sleep because he's always playing his guitar. And so finally, were you out? Did you go out of the room for a while?
Probably. I don't know. I don't even know what story you're going
with. And you came back in, and he's sitting on the floor, and he's going.
Oh, no, I was asleep.
Okay, tell me the story.
So what happened was Yarmo, who I mentioned earlier, he is a dear friend, still is. He was a good friend of mine. He was running security that night, so I thought I'd run security, walk security around the campus with Yarmo. And I said, hey, let's go to our room, because Ralph and I were roommates. I said, let's scare Ralph to death. You know, let's just pop in there and, you know, put a flashlight in his face and just scare him. So we did that, and Ralph got scared. And so we laughed and thought it was funny. Well, so later that night, Ralph thought, I'm going to get even with him. So I'm asleep now. He gets in the middle floor, and he starts yelling, Bobby, Bobby. And I'm like, what is going on? I go, Ralph, Ralph. He's going, Bobby, the trains, Bobby, the trains. I said, Ralph, are you all right? What's going on? Well, he totally had me. I thought he was having a nightmare. Well, he made up this whole story that I think it Bobby was his friend or brother or something that fell in a mine. And Ralph tried to save him, and he couldn't save him. And the guy fell down in this mine shaft, and they never saw Bobby again. And it was all made up.
But he's trying to make you guys on.
Yeah. So for days.
And you prayed for him.
We prayed for him about Bobby. And so I had all my friends praying for Ralph, like, Ralph, we're so sorry about Bobby. It was all just a fake story, just to get back at me, you know. So
I think you guys were like at the lunch table or something, and everyone's kind of looking down at Ralph, and all of a sudden he just starts going, Bobby. And they busted.
Like, you son of a gun. All right.
Oh my gosh. There's just so much life, really. You know, after all these years, now it was about how many months ago was it? Well, you were playing a gig in Indianapolis and something didn't feel right.
Oh, you're talking about just this year, yeah.
Yeah, the ticker.
I've had a few of those, but this one was a big one. I had a heart attack on stage during the show, and I didn't know what exactly was happening, but for those of you who've had that feeling, it's not necessarily a good one. Well, I continued two more songs, and I knew something was wrong, so I went to hospital, and I was having a massive heart attack, and luckily I was close to a hospital. You know, I had an angel watching down on me that day.
Boy, no kidding.
And so they were able to get a stent in and fix me up, and so I'm a lot healthier now, making better decisions, let's just say.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. You're 65, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be 65 on my next birthday, and it's funny how— because I was talking to you, like maybe it was 5 weeks ago when we saw you, and you're like, you know what? The main thing in life, really, I want to see my grandkids. I want to see my kids, you know, have their kids, and I want to be a part of that. And I'll probably never have grandkids. I still don't have any yet. I saw your daughter, by the way, today on Facebook, and she was singing and doing that big piece.
At Berkeley.
Amazing.
I'm very proud of both daughters.
Yeah. Both of them are incredibly talented. Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Getting her master's in vocal performance.
Yeah.
With her husband, Landon.
Well, and I sang with her in the studio right before she went up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really talented. They both are. But we have shared a lot of life together. You know, and there's been times when seasons you kind of move a different way, you're doing this, you kind of get doing your own thing. But it's like, as you can tell, it's like, you know, no time has passed.
Yeah.
When we start telling these stories, it's like sense of humor, everything, we remember it all. But I think one of the hardest times in my life, and I'm not going to go too deep into this, you know, and I've shared my story, you know, before on here, you know, about my own shipwreck, my own personal shipwreck in my life and hitting bottom kind of moments. And I had moved back here, and it was in the summer of 2007. And I had one of those really hitting bottom moments, and you had something similar too. And we got together and we were talking. And you said, man, there's someone I want you to meet, and I just want to go and sit down, and I think it could really help, because I was really struggling. And so there was a man we had visited with, and that night was really neat in my life. You telling me to come with you that night is probably why I'm doing this podcast, why I'm still speaking now and doing what I'm doing now, because I left what I was doing because I really care about people. And I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what your bottom moments were. I care about you. And that's what was said to me that night. You know, I told my story, and this man listened, and he said, you know what? First of all, I want you to know something. I'm really sorry that you went through that. And he said, I also want you to know something else. He goes, I don't care what your sin is. I care what you were thinking that got you to that point to think that was the right choice. And you've probably heard me say that before on here. I don't really care what your sin is. Everybody's got sin. But what is it that you're buying into that's leading you down to that place? He goes, you know what? That's the right decision to make, when somehow we know if we make that decision, you know, it's going to hurt people. It's going to hurt ourselves. And but to have someone in your life, no matter what, and we had, you had had a boat. Maybe it was when Stacy and I were dating. You know, it was probably about 7.5 years ago. We were out on the lake down in, what lake was that? In Indianapolis, Geist.
Oh, yeah.
And we just started talking about both of our, you know, personal shipwrecks in our life and going through it. And it's always nice to have someone there that you shared enough life with. And I've said this before, imagine a place so safe that you can share the worst about yourself and actually be loved more, not less, for the telling of it. And that's the one thing, when you have someone that's got your sick, someone that knows you well enough, that loves you more than your sin, that goes, you know what? We all buy into lies. I'm not leaving you no matter what. And that was the one thing with Mark. It's always been there. You know, we could talk about our hitting bottom moments and not really judge each other, not really shame each other. It was like, you know what? You're going to get through this. So anyhow, bringing all this kind of stuff back to that, because we're kind of getting short on time here. You know, out of all the fun stuff that we have in this lifetime, if you have a friend that can stick closer than a brother to you, it's rare, because you don't find that. We know Jesus sticks closer than a brother, but it's hard to find people because we do judge. You know, and sometimes we can be upset with someone and we can move away from them. You know, I've got someone in my world right now that's been 7 months since they've spoken to me. And honestly, I don't even know why. But the thing is this.
Is it Stacy?
Yeah, right, right. It's my wife.
No, I'm kidding. That was not good.
No, as you can see, you got to lighten the moment here just a little bit. But it's so true. If you've got someone, I just messaged somebody that was posting this morning, and they were talking because they've got a pretty big platform. And, you know, it was, you know, with Don Higgins, because it's out there. He made the post. He's been on the podcast a number of times, biggest podcast we've ever had. Because his platform has grown so big, he's always got someone that's trying to knock him off. You know, they're trying to, you know, put him down, knock him off that pedestal. And the post he said today, he says, you know what? He goes, that is really hard. He goes, but that's not my issue, basically, is what he was saying. And I came back on the post and I said, buddy, I got your six. To have someone that you know that you can go to. And there's been times you've called me on the phone and you go, hey, you got a couple minutes? And I think we went down to Subway in Pendleton when that was quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And you just said, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. And because there's no judgment. You know, that's what real friendship is. So I hope you guys, what you're hearing today and kind of watching today, think of a song here in a second you can kind of play us out on. But I want you to be thinking about, you know, do you have that, you know, that friend, that relationship, that you really can share the worst about yourself, knowing that you're going to be loved more, not less, for the telling of it. Because there's nothing more important, guys, than when we can be that person for someone else and we have that person in our life, because it makes life a heck of a lot easier. What do you got? What can you send us out on? Well, send us out with something upbeat.
What do you like?
Guys, know that you are loved and stay unleashed. You can remember to go to the unleashed.men website. I know it's the end of the tax year too. If you're looking for a ministry to donate to, you can go to unleashed.men and you can donate to a 501c3 through World Renewal. We'd love to have you. Go to YouTube, go to Spotify, give us a like, give us a follow, leave a comment. We will get back with you. And as always, know that you are loved and that we are the resistance. We'll see you next time.